From Lena Versi Athletics, this is the Burn 'Em Up Podcast. And now let's join your host, Carmen Lastoria and Philip Tang.
Welcome back to the Burn 'Em Up Podcast, brought to you by Food City. Philip Tang, Carmen Lastoria here with you. It's spring break, so no guests this week. Carmen and I are just going to recap what's happened the last couple of weeks. Carmen, there's been a lot of major things, including a new national champion.
Yes, we will talk about that. Congratulations to Cale Kaysen, and not just a national champion, which is an incredible feat in and of itself, but a record-breaking performance in the heptathlon, a record-breaking performance in the 60-meter hurdles as a part of the heptathlon.
It's crazy.
I mean, just an incredible athlete. We had him on the podcast before the GSC Indoor Track and Field Championship, and man, the guy's confident. He's worked so hard, working through injury. So just really proud of Cale and proud of Coach Morgan, Coach Fletcher, their entire staff. Just an incredible performance. And, you know, winning a national championship is hard to do. The Flames have done that now in the men's DMR. Christian Noble had two in the 3,000-meter and the 5,000-meter. You had Celine Ritter with a 3,000-meter. National champion in both the indoor and outdoor. So stacking up those national championships.
Yeah, we can go ahead and take a look at that whole meet because we were pretty successful in everything that we competed in. We talked about Cale, we'll get back to him in a minute. That first day was the women's DMR that took fifth place overall in that one, and that's a pretty good run for those Lady Flames. They set a conference record and won by like 6 seconds in the GSC championship, and they continued that run in the national championship, and just to be able to go and compete at that level, because all the other teams that were ahead of us are national powers in cross country and everything else, to show that we're right up there with them is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you had your usual, you know, Pitt State, Adams State. You had your usual D2 powerhouses there, but yeah, the Lady Flames distance medley relay team, the foursome of Lily Hare, Carissa Hall.
I think it was Alfungalo Magoro, if I remember correctly.
Magoro, yeah. I'm just going to say Magoro and McKenna Cavanaugh, who was the GSE track athlete of the year. They finished fifth, and in fact, they were, I believe, just what, like a half a second out of the top four there. But a great performance for the Lady Flames DMR team, the distance medley relay team. So congratulations to Lily, Carissa,
Magoro. Let's go with her last name, Magoro.
Magoro and McKenna Cavanaugh. So, great performance for the ladies.
And then on the men's side on that opening day, we talked about Cale Kaysen. First four events of the heptathlon, he took second in the 60-meter dash, second in the long jump, 10th in the shot put, which shot put's hard. If you're not, you know,
right,
built like that, yeah, that's not his strength. So 10th there, and then, of course, set the record in the GSC in the high jump and continued to be impressive there to have 3,200 points at the end of that one. So he turned the page and then looked to the next day, where Kaysen, in the final day, was trailing going into the final day. And he cleared the 4.05 meters in pole vault. And then he took a third place finish in the 1,000-meter run, which was enough to close it out for him to win that national championship, and had a 19-point deficit from the previous six events. He set a Division II record of 5,801, which is so impressive that he was able to accomplish that.
Yeah, like we said, not just the national champion, but a record-breaking performance, and the Flames tied for 12th as a team, which I believe is their highest finish, one of their highest finishes in indoor track and field. And then the women ended up finishing 36th as a team at nationals. McKenna Cavanaugh capped off the day with her run in the 3,000 meter and finished in 16th place. So, yeah, just a great performance all around down there in Kansas. So congratulations. And now they turn their attention right away to the outdoor season, and that'll get going here in just a couple of weeks.
I forgot to mention Jacob Hatcher came in 10th in the 1 mile, so he's a second-team All-American in that one. So a 4:12.55, 7th in his heat, 10th overall, as they had 8 runners go to the event final. So very, very good accomplishment for them. We look at lacrosse. They had a big win against Thomas More before spring break at home, and then they went to Tampa the other day, struggled in that first quarter against Tampa, gave up 9 goals, then settled in, lost to a top five team, 22-11 in lacrosse the other day. Five goals from Brittany White. Again, just I think early jitters, and then once we settled in, we played pretty well.
Yeah, and you know, still working to close that gap. Obviously, yes. you're playing, and credit to Coach Mego and the Lady Flames for playing some of these teams. You know, these top five, top ten teams in the South region nationally. So you go out there and you know, you're trying to close the gap, and so they're getting there. I think it's, you know, it's coming soon. Hopefully, maybe tomorrow or Thursday when they play Florida Southern College, which is another ranked team. But still trying to get that win over a ranked opponent for the first time in program history. But yeah, certainly closing the gap, and I think especially once we get into GSC play, I'm excited to see this team play. I think they're one of the better teams in the GSC.
Oh. They are by far, them and Flagler, I think, are the top two teams. So when they come, Flagler comes here, that final game of the regular season, you know it's going to be for first place and for a chance for hosting, that's for sure. The golf teams competed this past week. The Lady Flames played in, a very tough tournament. All the scores were really high in a tough place down in Orlando. Came in fourth place. UE came in another top five. Just good to see the balance. And Hannah Nall had a couple good rounds. Pearl had a couple good rounds. UE did. So just a nice balance for the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very strong, particularly those three that you mentioned, and then you know, Emily Ritchie has been playing better of late, and you know, they've got some players that are producing there for the Lady Flames and Coach G. So yeah, I think both teams, the women finishing fourth, the men I believe finished fifth. Both of those fields were very competitive. So you take top five finishes out of that, you feel pretty good. Certainly, they probably would have liked to have been, you know, a little bit higher and in the mix for winning it. But, you know, those are loaded fields with some of the best teams in the country. So strong showings for both the men's and women's golf teams.
Yes, and then the men came in fifth overall at the Valdosta State Invitational, the first federal Southeastern or something like that. I think they would like to forget that third round. Bennett struggled and Ollie struggled a little bit. But we had good rounds from a sophomore Wyatt Brackett. Noah Ross had a good round. And Trey Melvin had a couple really good rounds.
Yeah, and that was a good thing to see for Coach Evan Spence, right?
Yes.
Because you know Ollie, you know Ollie's going to be there, and you know Bennett's going to be there, especially once we get to this postseason time. They turn it up a notch. Those guys have been in the mix. They know what it takes to win at this level. When the pressure's ramped up. But yeah, those three that you mentioned, good to see solid rounds out of them. And it's important to play this course because this course will be host to the men's regional championship.
GSC championship.
The GSC championship this year. So it had been down in Mobile for a number of years, and now they're moving it over to Valdosta. So good opportunity to get out there. Obviously, it's a course they're familiar with. They've played the course, I think, for the last 5-6 years. But that's where the GSC championship will be, and Flames are in great position for an at-large bid, but you certainly would like to host that GSC trophy once again come the middle of April. So good opportunity to get out there, get on that track, and you know, they'll be ready to go.
Well, like Coach Evan Spence told George in his quote for the story, like, I'll take this in March rather than in late April when we're playing there for a GSC championship.
Yeah, you want to build up to your best golf, and I still think our best golf is still out there. Like I said, you mentioned Ollie, struggled a little bit in that third round. Bennett had two really solid rounds, and then you know he took a little bit of a step back in that third round. So those are both guys that are still not quite playing their best golf, but they're close.
Right,
and I think you're going to see that come April.
Then we look at the baseball team. They've won four straight, three at home against Cedarville. Past weekend for Parents Weekend. It looked like we were on the road with basketball, but it looked like it was a fun atmosphere at the Carp, and then they beat Carson Newman. Frankie Volkers at 10 strikeouts against Carson Newman, who's a pretty good team out of the South Atlantic Conference.
Yeah, I mean, these wins, they all count the same as far as in-region wins. You know, you focus on your GSC weekend series and the importance of winning those, but yeah, I mean, Frankie pitched well. He's coming back from injury, so he's worked his way back last year, pitched a little bit, but really starting to maybe settle back into that pitcher like he was at Eastern Michigan. And so good sign to see Frankie throwing the ball so well, adding that extra arm into the mix. But, yeah, I mean, these midweek games traditionally, I mean, last year these were games that we didn't win a whole lot.
Right.
And so this year we've been much better in the midweek games. And then you mentioned it, the Parents Weekend is always a really fun, special weekend. Coach Brew and his staff do a great job with it. They invite all the parents in. They have a nice banquet where they honor their seniors and honor their parents in a special ceremony on the field as well. So, and then obviously, they took care of business on the field you know, getting three big wins there. A lot of different guys were able to get out onto the field and get some at-bats and get some playing time, which is, you know, is important to Coach Brew, especially on that weekend, to, you know, be able to get some of those other guys that don't get to play as much, get them out there as well. So, you know, mission accomplished, and now a big one coming up this weekend against Auburn Montgomery on both sides, baseball and softball, with three big home weekend series here, a three-game weekend series against Auburn Montgomery.
Well, speaking of softball, they've had a tough stretch here. They lost two games to number 11 Wingate. They lost one game by one run. They lost two receiving votes, two games to receiving votes, Francis Marion. Again, lost one game by two runs. And now they take on number 17 Auburn Montgomery, who just beat the other day North Georgia. They split with the number one team in the country, North Georgia. So it's a tough stretch here for the Lady Flames. But most of their games have been on the road. They've hardly been at home. They finally get to return home to Butler Field.
Yeah, and they, you know, traditionally they play better at Butler Field. You get home, you get in front of the home crowd. It'll be the tail end of spring break, so hopefully we'll have a few people, you know, moseying their way back on campus on Saturday or Sunday to catch those games. Weather looks good. They did make that adjustment, by the way. Was supposed to be Friday, Saturday. They moved it to Saturday, Sunday. We're supposed to get some rain on Friday, so just a quick update there. But yeah, opportunity here for the Lady Flames. I think they're in a position where this is a crucial series. You know, if you can take two out of three, that can really be a shot in your arm to get you going here through this heart of the GSC schedule. You know, they've hit the ball really well. At times, they've pitched really well. You know, it's just finding that consistency in the circle, obviously, without Madison Barnett, who, by the way, we continue to lift up in our prayers as she fights her health battle. But yeah, if they can get a little more consistency in the circle, they know they're going to score some runs. Very talented offensive team. So if they can get two out of three against AUM, that could go a long way for this club.
Then finally, before we get to the basketball recap, we look at tennis. Kind of a weird schedule. Rain has canceled a bunch of matches for us. The men haven't played, I think, in like 2 weeks. And they're going to go to Carson Newman this weekend. The Lady Flames had one match. They beat West Georgia pretty handily. It's just been an odd little spring for Coach Hines because there's been a lot of rain.
Been a lot of rain, and they've been on the road.
Yeah,
so we haven't had a chance really to see this team a whole lot, and you know, they will get a few games coming up here. You know, as we get later in the year, they'll get a couple of those GSC matches at home, and we encourage everybody to come out for those. But yeah, they're playing well. I mean, you know, you look at the women. I think the women are what, 5-1 right now, and the men are 4-1.
Right.
You know, so and that only loss coming to West Florida. You know, down in Pensacola. So, you know, they had a rescheduling with Valdosta, so they'll get them a little later. That'll be a tough matchup. You know, Mississippi College on the schedule, that'll be a tough matchup. And then Carson Newman's always a coin flip, so a big, important match, you know, one of those that, you know, Coach Hines calls a 50-50 match.
Right,
we play
right.
well, we can win it. We don't play well, we're going to lose. So a great opportunity, you know, could be a seven-setter there.
Right, it could go all the way to that last matchup.
Could go the distance there. So best of luck to them. But yeah, they're off to a good start. It's just, it's been a kind of a start and stop type go to the start of the season because of the rain. And then obviously them not being at home as much either. You know, but still it's been a good start. So best of luck to them as they take on Carson Newman.
Attention shoppers. Don't forget to ask our certified butchers for great recipe tips.
This is an authentic butcher shop
where meat is hand cut in store. Beef is ground fresh daily, and expert advice from a certified butcher is always free of charge.
Free advice? That's what I call value. The quality I crave, the value I count on.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Then finally, let's talk about the truly March Madness that was that men's basketball game against Alabama Huntsville. You were on the call with George for a 5-overtime game. Unfortunately, came up on the short end of that one. Just one of those things where everyone just kind of looking at each other like, how is this still going? Longest basketball game I've ever been a part of.
It was crazy. I mean, you know, we just had the anniversary, I think, of back in, was it 2011 or 2010 when
UConn
and Syracuse went 6 overtimes in the Big East tournament. So that 5 overtimes, it was crazy. I mean, so many impactful plays in that game. The end of regulation, Tommy Murr of Alabama Huntsville on kind of a broken play. You know, Coach Smith told me afterwards they were trying to foul. You know, the Flames were up 3 with like 4 seconds left. So they were trying to foul and put Alabama Huntsville on the free throw line, which certainly probably would have salted away some of those seconds, last few seconds. But the ball kind of kicked away from one of the Huntsville players, and unfortunately kicks right to Tommy Murr, who had the hot hand, and he hits the long three to tie it at the end of regulation. And then so many moments throughout all of those overtime periods. I mean, just, you know, there were overtime periods where nobody missed a shot. There were overtime periods where it seemed like nobody made a shot.
Right.
The fourth overtime obviously stands out because you had a three in the corner by Willie Walton at the buzzer that literally was halfway down.
Yes.
And rims out, and so we go to a fifth overtime. I mean, it's just, you're right, it was an incredible game to be a part of. It was an amazing effort on both sides. I mean, I think J.J. Barnes played, you know, somewhat like 60 minutes in that game.
Like, I think it was like 64 minutes.
Something
which is
crazy. Him and Beyond were out there pretty much the whole time. And just incredible. It's one of those games you hate there has to be a loser, and you certainly hate
right.
That your team is on the losing end of that because it makes it a little bit bittersweet. But I think, you know, when you look back at it, you'll see that that was a special game, obviously. So, no surprise there. No GSC game has ever gone into five overtimes. It was the highest scoring GSC tournament game of all time. So lots of records set. And in the end, you know, just Flames got it. Legs were a little tired there at the end. You know, Huntsville was able to get to the foul line and make a couple of plays early in that fifth overtime that kind of extended the margin. And we just weren't able to come up with another big shot there at the end. But what an incredible game.
Oh, and you talk about how Huntsville led a lot of that second half, but Tariq and Willie just had answer three for answer three for answer three. Like, you needed a shot, Tariq got you. Then when he fouls out, I think in the third overtime, Willie comes in, he's got
hit
you.
Hit a ton of big
shots. He got you. So it was one of those games where if you were a neutral fan, it was probably one of the best things you ever saw. If you're pulling for one of the teams, it's like, oh, man, this is going to end in a heartbreak for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it was March Madness at its finest. Just a thrilling game. And, yeah, like I said, unfortunately, it just seems to be that roadblock. I mean, the men's basketball team has been so good over the years and has yet to play on GSC Championship Sunday. But, yeah, it was an incredible game nonetheless.
Then the Lady Flames got a massive upset of Union and showed their resiliency in that fourth quarter, making that comeback, and then unfortunately dropped one to Valdosta State, the number one team in the South region. They fell by 5 points in the championship game, but a great performance on that Saturday to get to Sunday.
Well, yeah, Lady Flames were down 13. At the end of the start of the fourth quarter, you're down 13 points, and against a team like Union that's only lost twice this year, you're kind of looking and you're thinking, okay, this is probably it. But just an incredible, resilient performance to battle back. So many big shots. Haley Johnson made a ton of big plays, scored the game winner there, a runner in the lane with about 15, 20 seconds left. Bailey Delbridge hits a big three with about a minute and a half left. And just an incredible performance. And the Lady Flames just defensively buckled down, get a huge stop in that final possession that Union had. So, yeah, signature win, big-time win to get into the championship. And then, you know, unfortunately, they led for most of that game against Valdosta.
Yes.
They led by five, I think, at the four-minute mark, four minutes left in the fourth quarter. They had a five-point lead. But then Valdosta just really worked the ball down low and made some plays and then got to the foul line.
Yeah, and they made their free throws when they counted.
They made their free throws when it counted and came up with some big stops defensively on the Lady Flames. Mallory Hampton fouling out in that game there in the fourth quarter, obviously hurt for the Lady Flames. So they come up a little bit short in the GSC Championship. But the good news, despite the roller coaster that was the GSC weekend that we had down in Birmingham, both teams are playing this weekend in the national tournament.
Yes, the men are the 7th seed, and they get a rematch with West Georgia on Saturday at 2:30. Carmen will be down at that one, and then I'll be with the women's team. We'll be in Valdosta Friday night. We are the 5th seed. We jumped from the 6 to the 5 with our upset over Union in that region. We take on Nova Southeastern, who won the regular season in the Sunshine State Conference. They got upset in the first round of their conference tournament. So it should be a couple interesting matchups. We've only seen Nova a couple times throughout our history in Division II. They're a pretty good team on that women's side.
They are. They're well coached. It's interesting because we don't know a ton about Nova on the women's side. And then on the men's side, we know everything about West Georgia. This will
right.
be, you know, the third time they've played this year, played them last year in the NCAA tournament. So just kind of the way the regionalization setup works in Division II, sometimes it works out that way where you get the conference matchup. But not discrediting Nova at all. They're a very, as you mentioned, they were the regular season Sunshine State champion, so they're a very talented basketball team. But I think I like this matchup for the Lady Flames.
I do too.
You stay away from a conference opponent in that first round, which helps because there's just so much familiarity. But then if you win that game, you get a chance more than likely to face Valdosta State again, a team that just beat you, but you were right there. So you've got to like your chances there to maybe go down and make some noise down in Valdosta if you're the Lady Flames. They're playing really well right now, I think, when you look at...
Especially defensively, they're playing really well.
Defensively, you know, they had the little hiccup at Union in Jackson there near the end of the regular season, but they came back, they played really well against Mississippi College in the quarterfinals of the GSC. Then you mentioned the incredible comeback against Union in the semifinals. And then for the better part of that game on Sunday, you know, they were the better team in that matchup with Valdosta, but credit the Blazers, of course, for battling back and winning that game. So I think Coach Rowe feels confident of how they're playing, particularly, as you mentioned, defensively. And if Mallory Hampton can stay out of foul trouble and they continue to get the offensive performances that they've gotten out of Anna Mahonin, Addison Smith, and, of course, Haley Johnson in the backcourt, if those three continue to help Mal on the offensive side, this is going to be a tough team to beat.
We do need to remind everybody that this is the first time the NCAA is going to charge for the stream. It's through Huddle/Blue Frame, but it's not just our region. It's every region in the country is charging for the games to watch. And the pricing, we've got that on social media. We'll have that in our preview articles as well. It's $9.99 per game, and then I think it's $20 if you want to watch just either the women's tournament or the whole men's tournament, and then it's $40 for both. So if you want to watch all of them. So just be aware that it's going to be a charge, kind of like what we've had with Flow Sports this year. So it's going to be the same, but just not with Flow. Just you can't expect that to roll over to the NCAA tournament.
And if you don't want to pay that,
right,
we will be down. We've got you covered on the radio side. So Philip will be down in Valdosta, Talk 101.3 The Buzz. You've got but you can listen wherever you may be through the audio stream on our website and on our social media. So Philip will have the call of the women. I'll have the call of the men. So if you don't want to pay, but you still want to be locked into what's going on in real time with the Flames and the Lady Flames in the NCAA tournament, then check us out. And listen, there's something to be said for the home call, right?
Right.
I mean, we're both professional. We're not homers. You know, we don't get up, you know, we're not yelling and screaming like we're fans, but, you know, we are the hometown call. We know these players. We know our team. And so some fans, you know, just prefer to listen to the hometown call. So we'll have you covered on that as well if for whatever reason you don't want to stream the games.
And you can stream it right from your app, right, the mobile app.
Yep.
So you go to our mobile app brought to you by Hardee's, and you can pull up the link and you can listen live. It's already up. The link's already there. So you can start listening to the buzz right now and listen all the way through until Friday evening when we play. So stay tuned to that. Of course, you can also follow us on social media down there as well. Jonathan Murray will be making the trips, and we'll have as much coverage as we possibly can for you from both the women's and the men's tournament. It's going to be a fun time. March is here. It's one of the later times these tournaments have started. It's not going to start until March 15th for the men, March 16th for the women. Vice versa. It's late March, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah, and of course you had the leap year this year, which puts you a day behind, and then just the way the calendar falls. It's a little bit later this year, but we're excited. I'm excited to be down there. I know you are. It's fun and it's exciting, and you just never know. It's March Madness, so you just never know what's going to happen. And I think both our teams have had tremendous years, and I wouldn't be surprised if they both keep it rolling for a few more games here.
So before we wrap it up, we've got to do our fired up moment of the week. I'm pretty sure ours is going to be the same on this one, but I'll let you go first.
Well, Kale, I think, deserves that. I think that was the direction we were going. So I'll shout out Kale, but just to mix it up a little bit. So first of all, congrats to Kale once again, an incredible performance. But then I'll switch it, and since you'll talk about Kale, let me talk about the Lady Flames winning against Union. 13-point comeback. It was incredible. Congratulations to those ladies. Such a hard-fought victory to get to the GSC championship. I know we weren't quite able to finish it off with a GSC title, but that was a great win against a quality opponent. And to come back from 13 down says a lot about our ladies. So I'll give them that, and then...
Yeah, I'll go with Kale. Only his second ever heptathlon to compete in. When we talked with him on this podcast a few weeks ago, you knew he was prepping, and he was wanting that national championship very, very badly, and he definitely deserved that. The way he performed with the comeback on that final day to get the win. He definitely deserves my fired up moment of the week.
Well, in just talking with him, you sense the determination in his voice, and then he was not going to be denied, whether it was at the GSC or the national tournament. So excited to see him compete now during the outdoor season. But congratulations to Kale, proudly representing Lee on the national stage as a national champion.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Burn 'Em Up Podcast. We'll be back with you maybe next week, depending on how long the men's team makes a run. We may or may not be back with you next week. We'll have to wait and see. This is the Burn 'Em Up Podcast, brought to you by Food City. For Kamala Storia, I'm Philip Tang. We'll catch you next time.